right in. Are you ready? I got a lot of stuff. It's going to be a lot. How many like to learn stuff? How many are not cognitive learners? Therefore, you need stories and pictures and stuff because you just... I'm going to bless you with a cognitive ability right now in the name of Jesus. I pray that your spirit would be awake right now and that you would take in revelation in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me just warm you up. You ready? I'm going to warm you up, get you ready. There was a family, and they had three boys, and the father passed away. The three boys had left home, gone on with their lives, and all three of them did really, really well in life, were really blessed, and they prospered. And they met one day together, had lunch together, and they were having a conversation. And then they said, hey, how do you think mom's doing? What do you think mom's up to? And he says, oh, you know what? I've done so well. I actually bought and built mom a new home, a great big home with a butler and servants and all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, she's in a pretty good spot right now. That's a beautiful, beautiful home. So he went, oh, I didn't know that. He says, you know, I actually bought mom a limousine and I sent her a chauffeur. So if she ever wants to go out, she doesn't have to worry about a thing. She can go wherever she wants. She's got her own limo driver and limousine. And he said, wow, that's good. He says, the other one said, hey, that's pretty awesome. But you know what I did? I got mom a parrot. Not any parrot. You know how much mom loves the word, and she loves the word of God, and she loves birds. So I figured, you know what? I'm going to join those together. So I paid a guy to train a parrot to memorize the whole Bible. And so mom now has a parrot that she can ask that parrot for any scripture, and that parrot will recite anything in the Bible. I'm telling you, it took a long time to get it done, but it got it done, and I sent mom this parrot, and isn't it amazing? I think that's an amazing gift. They went their way, and then each of them got a letter in the mail. Say, letter in the mail. Who's following my story? Who's on the edge of your seat? So he sent the letter to the one son. Said, son, you know, appreciate you and glad you're doing well. And, you know, thanks for the home, but I don't know that it's really a blessing because, you know, I live very simply. It's just me and I only need a couple of rooms and I got all these massive rooms and I wonder what on earth is going on in this place, you know? And it's kind of overwhelms me. It's just way too much. And he's like, oh my goodness. And then gets a letter to the other son, says, son, you know, you sent me that car and that's nice, but I don't go very many places and stuff. And honestly, the chauffeur that you hired me, he's kind of annoying and it's kind of disturbing. He's just sitting out there all the time waiting around. It's kind of creepy. But, you know, I appreciate, you know, that you were thinking of me. And then the third son, she said, son, you're a wonderful son. And I want to tell you that the chicken you sent me tasted really good. How many are you? You're awake now? You're ready to go? I'm already, the screen's already telling me I got 10 minutes. I'm like, my God. I'm like, I haven't even started. What if 10 minutes? See, God bless the screen in Jesus' name. God bless the screen. Okay, we're going to go. I'm gonna go pretty quickly. Can you say quickly? We're starting a series called Wash, and you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We're going to talk about the blood. Our faith is a bloody faith. Blood has a big deal to do. Now, when I was a kid, my dad had a gift for casting out devils. He really did. And I tell you, people would knock on our door and they'd say somebody sent them. And there was often in the living room, I'd be sleeping. All of a sudden I'd hear, ah! Devils screaming and coming out of people. And my dad didn't even necessarily like it, but he had an anointing for it. And it just, you know, people, you need a devil cast out, you just call Pastor Thomas and he'll take care of it. But we'd have sometimes in church, people come up for prayer and they'd start to manifest in the service and dad be casting devils out of them, you know. Amen. How many like a good old devil casting out time? Amen. Who's got a devil right now? Come on. Come out of that demon. Hallelujah. Well, I tell you, we had one time a messy situation up front and wherever the kids were, my mom would always come back. I plead the blood. 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 And as a kid, I was all like, what the heck? What's going on? I always freaked me out. What's the blood? But you know what? I have a greater understanding now of the blood. And I'm grateful that my mom knew how to plead the blood. So we're going to talk for several weeks about the blood. We're coming up to Easter. We're coming up to Good Friday. We're coming up to that season where the blood of God was shed for us. Amen. Revelation 1:5-6, to him who loved us, say loved us. to him who washed us, say, washed us of our sins in his own blood, the very blood of God. It wasn't any blood. It was the divine, wonderful blood of God. And he made us. So he loved us. He washed us and he made us. He loved us. He washed us. Another 3-point sermon right there. He loved us. He washed us and he made us kings and priests to our God. And the result of this is glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what it's all about. It's all about, the whole thing is about God's glory flooding and filling everything in every way. True redemption is found exclusively through the blood of Jesus. A working revelation of the blood of Jesus will give you an ongoing access to the glory of God. There's a beautiful old hymn that says, it says, his spirit answers to the blood. The spirit answers to the blood and tells me I am born of God. Thought Desmond's coming up, getting ready to cast out the demons, brother. Getting ready, praise the Lord. Amen. The spirit answers to the blood. Where the blood goes, the spirit of God flows. Where the blood goes, the Holy Spirit goes. Andrew Murray said, the blood and the spirit always bear testimony together. Smith Wigglesworth said, the spirit never brings condemnations. He brings attention to the blood. The spirit never brings condemnation. He brings attention to the blood. The blood. Where the blood is honored in faith and preaching, there the spirit works. He always leads souls to the blood. The Holy Spirit could not be given until the blood was shed. The living bond between spirit and blood cannot be broken. Jesus took his own blood and he took it to the mercy seat in heaven and he poured his blood on the mercy seat. And because of that finished work, because of that atonement, there the Spirit of God was sent and the Holy Spirit came. And there, because the blood has been applied to our lives, we can now become living, breathing temples and tabernacles of the Holy Ghost. Because of the blood applied to your life, the Spirit of God has flooded you, filled you, saturated you, and you have become a living, walking, breathing dispenser of heavenly favor. For one simple reason, you've applied the blood of Jesus to your life. That's why I say, plead the blood. Plead the blood. If you do something stupid, here's what you do. Plead the blood. If you're standing and someone's accusing you, what do you got to say for yourself? I plead the blood. The blood. The blood. The blood. Redemption is through his blood. It's always been through his blood. It is his eternal plan. 1 Peter 1:20, he was chosen and destined for this before. For what? He was chosen and destined that through him, the verse before talks about, it was his precious blood. Through the precious blood of Jesus, we've been ransomed and redeemed. But the precious blood wasn't some random act in history. It wasn't something that God concocted because things got screwed up. This was always God's plan. This was always God's plan. He was chosen and destined for this before. Say before. Before the foundation of the earth was laid, but he has been made manifest in these last days for you. This was the plan before creation. This was the plan way before anything happened. This was the plan way before you sinned. This was always God's plan to bring redemption through the blood. Ambrose of Milan, one of the patristic church fathers, he said, oh, happy fault that earned for us so great and so glorious a redeemer. Oh, happy fault. The Latin is felix culpa. It means happy fault. Oh, happy fault. Yeah, I don't look at the fall as a thing that is necessarily wrong, but I've reframed it because I see it through eternity that this happy fault has opened a way that I don't have a relationship with God based on my behavior. Now, because of that happy fault, God's promise to redeem us has come into manifestation. God's promise to redeem us was always there before there was sin, before there was a fall. God had a plan to redeem mankind. Oh, happy fault that opened the way for such a glorious redeemer. The covenant that the Father made with his Son took me from sinful to sonful. And that covenant was established before the foundation of the world. The fall didn't defeat God's plan. It revealed something greater. The fall didn't defeat God's plan. It was, oh no, what are we going to do now? God, in his foreknowledge, the Lamb was slain. The conversation was had way before creation that Jesus was the Lamb who would take away the sins of the whole world. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world is a great, great revelation of the grace and unmerited favor of God. Before there was a fall, there was already a Lamb. God didn't just solve sin, he outplanned it. He didn't just solve sin, he outplanned it. God, it was all cooked into the scheme so that we could be in relationship with God, not based on my behavior. I'm not closer or further away based on my behavior. I am in once and for all. I've been in Christed. I've been in Godded. I've been slam dunked into the middle of the Trinity, never to be removed because of the finished work of the cross. I didn't put myself in. I can't take myself out. Jesus did it. I'm born from above. I'm a child of God, forever in union with the Trinity. And that was always God's plan. And he did it. And I can't fall out of it because that was always his plan, that I'd be brought in by his will, by his choice, by his action, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Des. It was good to have you on the front row. A little louder, please. A little bit louder now, a little bit louder now, a little bit louder now, a little bit louder now. Settle down. Ephesians 1, 4 to 5, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy. How many know this is the Bible? I'm not making this stuff up. This is the Bible. Even before he made the world, the cosmos. Even before he made the cosmos, God loved us and chose us. And how could he love you if you weren't already there? Now that's a head scratcher. He loved us. See, we're stuck in this linear realm of time. And yet God's purposes and plans are outside in the realm of eternity. And yet we're stuck in this little realm and we live in this little realm. I mean, the word says we're but a blade of grass. We're here today, gone tomorrow. And yet we place so much influence in this little. So much more. So much more. Christ, he called us and chose us in him to be holy and without fault in his eyes. Yes, Lord. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Can I get an amen? All right, this is, let me go. All right, I don't know what happened. I just jumped about 40 slides ahead. All right, Day of Atonement. Going to deal with the Day of Atonement today. Are you ready? I say Day of Atonement. Say Passover. Say Day of Atonement. Say Passover. Two completely separate events. Completely separate. All right, and yet both of them are manifest, and there's a crisscrossing of the efficacious work of Christ at the cross where Passover and atonement were manifest at the same time. Passover was the feast that they celebrated when they were delivered from Egypt, and they put the blood on the doorposts of their home. They ate the lamb, consumed the whole lamb, get the lamb on the inside and the blood on the outside, get the lamb on the inside and the blood on the outside. And if the angel came, the destroying angel, if he came, if he saw the blood, he had to pass over. And you know what? If you've got the blood of Jesus on the lamppost of your life, the destroying angel has to pass over. You don't have to fear. You can sit and you can rest and you can enjoy that I am a child of God and the evil one cannot touch me. Amen. Day of Atonement, Leviticus 16, a whole chapter, beautiful chapter. How many have been reading Leviticus just the last week or so? Liar. Okay, so Leviticus 16, I'm not going to read it all, just a little bit, because they keep on flashing the time that I'm supposed to quit. A trap door will swallow me any moment now. Leviticus 16, on that day, say that day, on that day, offerings for purification will be made for you, and you will be purified in the Lord's presence from all your sins. How many think that's a good day? Oh, happy day. When you wash my sin away, oh, happy day, I'll never be the same, oh, happy day. Too late, you left me hanging. I gave you a window to enjoy yourself. On that day, and you will be purified in the Lord's presence from all your sins, for you, it will be a day of complete rest. Isn't that good? On the day of your redemption, you know what your job is? Nothing. What did you do to be set free from your sin and reconciled to God? Nothing. You will be a day of complete rest for you, and you must deny yourself. You must step back, deny yourself. That's hard for me. I want to get involved. How many like to give the Lord a hand? Let me help you with that. You know, I'm like, Lord, maybe this isn't happening fast enough. Let me help you out with this. That's usually when things get screwed up, you know? That's when Abraham takes the midwife and or Sarah and takes Hagar. And right now, because of what Abraham did with Hagar, the Middle East. It's happening right now. Well, Abraham, we forgive you. Once each year, Moses followed all of these instructions exactly. The people were purified and they were made right with the Lord. Moses followed these exactly. So Passover, say Passover. Okay, here's the Passover. Every family participates right at Passover. As soon as the Passover week started, every family had to get a lamb. Everybody. So every family here, put up your hand if you're part of a family. All right. In those days, you would have to personally go get a lamb. And that lamb would have to be pure and spotless and without blemish. And you would bring it to the temple. And for days, the priests would investigate everybody's lamb. And they would make sure that the lamb was precious and spotless and white as snow. Same time Jesus showed up and he was being investigated, the Lamb of God who takes away. So every family had to participate. Every family had to have a lamb per household. There was personal forgiveness and deliverance. It had to be repeated every year. It was temporary in its results, but it foreshadowed Jesus. Now that's Passover. We're going to deal with that starting next week. Next week is Palm Sunday, right? You don't want to miss it. You don't want to miss it. God, we're going to have some fun right here in this house. We're going to be all running and a jumping. We're going to be shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's next week. That's next week. A little preview. Hey, hey. Yeah, can somebody help me? Come on, somebody help me. All right, atonement. High priest is working. Who's working on the Day of Atonement? In Leviticus 16, you read it. It's only the high priest. He's got to kill a bull. He himself has to kill a big bull, and he's got to give a sacrifice for himself and for his family and for everything else. And pretty much whatever flashed on the screen, I'm probably going to ignore it. So you could put pictures of your wedding or all kinds of stuff and. It's just not going to happen. So all others have to rest. Everybody else, no one else, one priest has to give it. And that one priest, literally, he sacrifices the bull and goat. Say, bull, goats, goats. That's what they say in Jamaica, goats. Would you like some curried goat? Curried what? Curried goat. So at Passover, everybody, every family has a lamb. At atonement, there's the blood of bulls, and he cleanses himself, and he cleanses his family, and prepares himself to enter in. But then there's two goats. So it's a different sacrifice. It's for corporate. Have some. Just enjoy that right now. Just say, I'll have a double portion. All right, different sacrifice, but there's corporate purification and union. Sometimes heavy doctrine goes down better when you take some medicine. You ready? Take some medicine. Say, ah-ha, oh-ho. And a goats. All right. Corporate purification and union. It's repeated every year. It's temporary in its results, and it foreshadows Jesus. So two different days. So I want to deal today with atonement. I want to deal with what that's all about. Atonement. Atonement is the state or process of being at one, being at union with God. William Tyndale, literally, he developed the word in the 1500s. He developed the word. William Tyndale developed the word. In the 1500s, when he was translating the Bible, he developed this word atonement. He said, I need a word that talks about oneness and union with God, because through the blood of Jesus, we have atonement with God. It's a doctrine concerning the reconciliation of God and humankind, especially as accomplished through the life, sufferings, and the death of Jesus, the reconciliation of God and humankind. Atonement, God's dramatic victory in Christ over the enslaving powers of sin, death, and the devil, liberating humanity from bondage and reconciling the world to himself. Atonement. At one meant, at one with God, everyone brought to be one with God. Number one, the work of the priest. We saw that he humbled himself, very simple garments. He didn't wear the high priestly garments. He just wore linen tunics. That's all he wore, some very simple outfit. Jesus, the same pattern. Jesus, God himself took on flesh. God himself became, who was so very rich, became so very poor and completely identified with this human tent. He came and he humbled himself to be like us. He works alone. It's heavy lifting, and Jesus went to the cross alone. Peter was like, we'll come with you. He said, no one can come with me in this. It had to be Jesus alone. It had to be Jesus' blood alone. He went to the cross alone. The priest on that day of atonement, he did it all by himself. Everyone else, what's your job? Just rest. Jesus was the representative, but Jesus is in our substitutionary ministry. He returns in glorious garments, and Jesus ascended in glory. With a resurrected body, he ascended in glory. So at the end, they burn all the garments, and the high priest comes out dressed in his glorious garments. So there's the work of the priest. Hebrews 10, 12 to 14, but our high priest offered himself to God, a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. This is what the Hebrew writer is talking about. He's talking about the Day of Atonement. Our high priest offered himself a single sacrifice, good for all time. The difference of the Day of Atonement and the day that Jesus gave himself on the cross, that was good for a year. Imagine having your sins purged, set free. Imagine a year free passage. Hallelujah. A year where sin won't be applied to my life. I got a year free pass. Woo! Jesus is once and for all. Not just once and for everyone, but once and for all time. It never changes. Jesus is the finished work of your redemption. A single sacrifice, good for all time. Then he sat down in the place of honor at God's right hand. There he waits until his enemies are humbled and made a footstool under his feet. For by that one offering, he forever made perfect those who are being made holy. See, we have the responsibility now to be living, walking, breathing containers. He has given us the responsibility to enforce his victory everywhere we go, because we are living, walking, and breathing members of the atonement. I am one with God. Hallelujah. Say hallelujah. The posture of the people. What are the people? Complete rest, deny yourself, and just pay attention. That was your only job. Just pay attention. Watch what is going to happen for you today. For by grace you have been saved through faith and not of yourself. It is the gift of God. Every aspect of your life is the gift of God. It's when you step out of rest and start taking it in your own hands, that's when it gets screwed up. But if you will move in rest, if you will operate in rest, if you will be led by the Spirit every moment of your life, you'll experience the blessing and the goodness of God in all that you do. Your posture is complete rest. Deny yourself of getting involved in that and just pay attention to the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2:8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Number three, two goats. Two goats. First goat was a sacrifice goat. The first goat, they selected that, they cast lots on the goats, and one was taken and sacrificed, and the blood of that goat was taken in and poured upon the mercy seat. Two ways, sprinkled and with the finger. Diffusely, it gets everywhere, and specifically, it points and deals with things. Some of you need the finger of God to point out issues in your life, but you need to know overall the blood has already covered everything. Thank you, Stephen. Praise God. Desmond? Louder now. A little bit louder. Thank you. All right. The sacrifice, say propitiation. Say propitiation. All right, 1 John 2:2, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation. It's a little bit of doctrine. It's all right. It won't hurt you. It actually really help you. He himself, God himself, Jesus is. Propitiation is a word that also means mercy seat. He is the mercy seat. He is the place where you and God meet. He is the place where the blood is shed. He is the place where you are brought into reconciliation and oneness with your Father. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole cosmos. What does that mean? Everybody, even my neighbor. Have you seen my neighbor? Thank you. You know, the sin of the whole cosmos was dealt with 2,000 years ago. And the purpose for it being dealt with, the promise of it, was right from the very beginning. It was always built in and cooked into the whole program. Some people walked in faith believing for the promise. We look back and we are saved by faith because we believe the performance. They were in faith believing it would come. We are in faith believing it's finished. But everybody in every generation, you're a child of God by faith, not by works. Every single one. So Jesus didn't start something that you have to finish. He himself did it. Let me say it again. Jesus didn't start something that now you have to finish. Sadly, a lot of places you go, they'll tell you, yes, yes, you get saved by grace, but then you got to work your butt off to stay saved. Because if you screw up, ooh, you'll get booted off the bus. Amen? Can I get an amen on that one? Who still believes that? In Jesus' name. Desmond, we've got some demons to cast out today. He did it. He didn't start something you have finished. Propitiation is not God being reconciled to us. It's us being reconciled to God who never stopped loving us. Ever. You have never lived an unloved moment. Even when you didn't even know about God, even when you're walking lost, he still loved you. For God so loved the cosmos that he gave his only son. You have always been loved. And this reconciliation isn't him being reconciled to you. It's being reconciled to God who has never been stopped loving us. Amen. See, God's never been mad at you or ticked off with you and angry with you. And somebody's got to deal with my anger so that I can love Carl. I'm just so angry because of his sin. And somebody's got to deal with my anger because he's such a disappointment to me. But if somebody would deal with my anger, I could draw close to him. That's rubbish. And yet that's what a lot of people believe. It's what a lot of people get taught. And that's not sound doctrine. The cross didn't make God love you. It proved that he always did. While dealing with everything in you that stood in the way. What is justice? We need justice. Justice is love removing everything in you that is not love. Because does God stop being love when he wants to manifest his wrath? These are all aspects of his very nature. And he can't say, I got to put my love aside right now so I can drop a bomb on Carl. So everything he does is out of love because God doesn't love. God is love. All right, I got to go. In propitiation, Jesus became sin. He became sin. 1 Corinthians 5:21, for he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin. He became every sin, past, present, and future to the fullest degree. Jesus, in his body, he took all of the sin of all mankind. David also broke a fabulous quote. You'll hear it from me a lot because I love it. Jesus was cursed on the tree in our place, and he bore our sin in his own body. Say, body. Where was the sin of the whole world, yours and mine forever and ever? Amen. It was in his body. He did not bear the sin in his blood. Say, blood. Say, body. Say, blood. Say, body. It was just as holy on the cross as it ever was, and he offered the sin sacrifice to God. He was covered with pure, innocent, justifying, redeeming, sanctifying blood so that he was able to dismiss his spirit to his Father at his death. The sin that meant death, the wages of sin is death. He took sin in his body, a very real body, a fleshly body. The Son of Man took the sin of the whole world. But in the Son of Man was not any blood. It was the blood of God. And because it was the blood of God, there's power in the blood of God. And the blood of God covered every bit of sin in his body. And because the blood covered, that's why he was opened up from head to toe. That's why it wasn't one wound. It was wounded everywhere. He was bruised everywhere. He didn't just bleed on the outside, he bled on the inside. He was bruised. He was wounded. He was crushed. And that body, the very body of God, the body of Jesus, he has that same body today forever. He has limited himself. There's a man seated on the throne, and he's made room for us. God Almighty became the Son of Man so that we could become the sons of God. And his blood forever, once and for all, the wages of sin are paid in full. And he took every sin, past, present, and future, and he bore it in his own body. He redeemed, saturated, and he forgave the whole cosmos. Amen. For our propitiation, God condemned sin in the flesh, in Jesus' flesh, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh. You'll never deal with issues in your life by trying to be good and obey the law. It does not work. God did it by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. And he condemned sin in the flesh. The word condemned is katakrino. It means to condemn decisively, to obliterate. It's where we get catastrophe, where we get catastrophic. It was a massive catastrophe. Sin was obliterated. It was a massive catastrophe. It wasn't a small storm. It was a category 5 obliteration of sin once and for all. Thank you for 3 people being excited. The scapegoat, the second. There was the goat that was propitiation goat, but then there was the other goat was the scapegoat. Just really quickly, listen now. The other goat, he was alive. So after they did all of that, the priest would come out and he would grab the goat by the head and he would confess the sins of all the people onto that goat. And so sin was eliminated, sin was crushed, sin was broken. But now the sins of all the people was transferred to the scapegoat. Imagine that goat. I mean, at that point he's going, I'd rather be the one who died. The removal of sin and restored union with God. It deals with guilt. Psalm 103:12, for as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Why are you still talking to me about the failures of yesterday? Why do you keep on bringing up the things that were dead? The things that, you know, quit talking to me about your sin. Don't you know that we are dead to sin? Dead dogs don't bite. Dead believers don't sin. I am a child of God. 1 John 3:9. I am a child of God and I cannot sin. Cannot. I am dead to sin. But I misbehaved the other day. You're still dead to sin. You might have screwed up, but that doesn't change the fact that you're dead to sin. Yes, you effectively screwed up, but that didn't change your relationship with God. It didn't change your whole pure and holy nature. It did not shift your identity. You are still a child of God who screwed up. And God was saying, come on over here. Stop it. You know, the reason you keep on doing it is because you don't know you're dead to sin. You still think sin has a place in your life. But if you would confess, here's how we deal with it. How do you deal with this? How do you deal with it, Pastor? You say, or don't you know? The reason this keeps happening in your life in Romans, it says, because you don't know. You're dead to sin. You keep on doing it because you don't think you're dead to it. I'm dead to sin. Amen. Say, I'm dead to sin. Amen. I agreed with the Bible. As far as the east is from the west, he's removed my sin from me. Isaiah 43:25. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Micah 7:19. He will again have compassion on us, and he will subdue our iniquities. You will cast all of our sins into the depths of the sea. Done. 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 And it's not like, oh, I forgot. That's right. Now that you bring it to my attention, you are a real dork sometimes. God will never do that to you. Who is it accuses? Is it God, the one who set you free? God forbid. He set you free. He'll never condemn you. It's the devil. And sometimes my wife. She's given me the wrap it up sign. I'm dead to sin. I'm not dead to Cheryl there, but I'm dead to sin. But you'll get people who will remind you. You'll get people who will tell you, you know, who do you think you are? I think I'm a child of God, redeemed, set free, pure and spotless in his eyes. I can't get closer to him than I can right now. So awesome being me right now. And you know, that's when you need faith. When you feel like a failure, that's when you got to rise up and say, I am a child of God. And don't let religion or anything else. My wife never says that. She never condemns me. The odd time I feel it a little bit, because I said, could I? The other week I said, I'd like to vacuum today. And she said, no, it's not going to happen. I said, no, really, I want to vacuum. You don't know how to vacuum. I said, really, I know how to vacuum. I'll do it. I'll do my very best. She says, forget it. Just sit down. So for me, I'm at one with my life because Cheryl covers everything. So it's all good. Amen. All right, I got to move on. I got to wrap it up. Scapegoat, you see the scapegoat, little picture of a scapegoat. Our culture is intoxicated on scapegoating. Here's what this caption says. It says, a good scapegoat is nearly as welcome as a solution to the problem. If I can't solve the problem, I'll just blame somebody else. Amen? I mean, that's how it happened at the beginning, right? They eat of the tree, and then, Adam, what happened here? Who told you that? What are you guys doing with those sloppy fig leaves on? What's the deal? And that's God coming. They fell, they'd sinned. God not offended, he's right there. You don't offend God with your sin, you ruin your own life. But God shows up, says, what's up? And what did they do? Instead of saying, we blew it, they had a really good chance to say, help me. But no, they went, it's your fault, really, because you gave me her. Yeah, like she completely screwed up. I wouldn't have done it. She forced it on me. She was like, eat it, eat it. And he said, now what's your problem? He says, well, it's not my fault. It's that serpent. Why'd you let him in the garden? I mean, he came up. He's pretty convincing. And then the devil, he said, you devil, what do you got to say for yourself? Well, he didn't have a leg to stand on. It still works, honey. It still works. All right. Our culture today is addicted to scapegoating, blaming ourselves. A lot of people blame themselves. Can't tell you how many people cannot stop blaming themselves. Please stop. And we're conditioned. If we can't blame ourselves, then we will blame others for everything. Scapegoating is humanity's attempt to deal with guilt without transformation. The gospel, Jesus isn't a scapegoat like we are, not a scapegoat we blame. He is our Savior who willingly carried our sin and actually removed it. We scapegoat to avoid responsibility, but Jesus took our sin to restore our responsibility and to restore our relationship. How many were still paying attention right there? That was a good slide. All right. I think this is my last slide. I got one more. All right, two more. Romans 4:25. Love this verse. Jesus was handed over to be crucified for the forgiveness of our sins, propitiation. Jesus was handed over to be for the forgiveness, propitiation. He was raised back to life to prove that he had made us right with God. Expiation. Everything that is offensive is removed once and for all. Is Jesus risen? You're perfect. Is Jesus risen? You're perfect. Is Jesus risen? You're perfect. I'm just reading the Bible. Quit arguing with me with your eyeballs. He was raised back to life to prove that we have been made right with God. Not just right, but righteous. The very righteousness of God himself. One more slide, and I got to wrap it up. In Jesus, sin is condemned, propitiation. In Jesus, sin is removed, expiation. Propitiation means God conquers all that is against you. Expiation means your past is no longer attached to you.